There's a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is a dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
The Elder Dragon Journey podcast. This is your host Igor, and as with me is my co-host Niksha. Say hi, Niksha.
Hi, Niksha. Just hi.
It's been just what, a month since we recorded?
Something along that time frame, yeah.
But this time it wasn't our fault, though, so we can always piggyback on that one.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, this one actually wasn't our fault because the MTG cast site had problems, but now they fixed that and we're back.
Yep. And wow, was there almost nothing happening in the past month?
I mean, something big happened in that 1 month, right?
I mean, Allegiance came out, but that...
I meant more of you changing your playstyle just a little bit.
No,
really?
So Igor, want to start off with the Commander of the Week?
Sure, let's start with... I've been actually making a lot of decks, like Rubikon Stacks, Circu, the Lantern Control, even though I still don't have Lanterns, so we can't actually call it that way. But today we had... It was supposed to be a tournament, but it's ended up being a couple of casual games of if every commander had partner, what would you partner with? And I partnered the Thymna with Rada, the Grand Warlord. And holy crap, that works so well. And I'm sad I have to disassemble it, so you know.
Yeah.
Because turns out Thymna isn't actually that good. She's just there for the colors.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you played against it. How was your feel?
Rada is a lot better than Thymna. I mean, Thymna doesn't...
Gives you mana, bigger body, has haste.
Yeah, and Thymna really doesn't do anything.
Thymna can provide you with bodies to give you, you know...
sometimes get some saplings out of her, but since you're not playing that... Demon guy or anything that likes sacking multiple creatures, it's like
that's the thing, because I put Grand War with Rada as generally I had to cut things like smokestacks.
Oh.
Because Thymna was one reliable way for me to actually, you know, get value to the smokestacks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I had to change the play design just a little bit. But overall this if I could keep on playing this as a color combination and, you know, generals, I would, because holy crap, this is good.
Well, if it were up to me, I would go with something like Animar Kozilek,
mm-hmm.
because Animar makes Kozilek free, and having a Kozilek just be there is kind of decent.
You actually combined what? Kinais and Tiro with Silvalo, right?
Actually, I just came there to see what was going on. I didn't plan to play. But since there were just a couple of casual games, for the first round I combined Sig and Yuriko. So people would stop telling me that I'm playing the worst commander. So, because, you know, when you play both of them, you're not playing the worst one.
I mean, Sig is actually good, and you know it.
I know. Just that people don't understand.
And
for the next game I played... Well, I wanted to play Kinaya Sentiro and Joyra, but...
So It was Joyra.
I mean, you people voted to Joyra because Silvalo would be too oppressive.
And you asked what would we rather play against.
And it turns out I was actually just stuck playing Mono Red.
That was my fault.
You and your damn magus.
I mean, turn one I played Longhorn Elf in the forest, turn two I played Magus of the Moon. And turns out you had a bunch of non-basics in your hand, and the chick right of me also had a bunch of non-basics.
Yeah, and the only basics I drew were mountains, so yeah, they were super useful.
Yeah, Mono, you had like one or two turns where you were free from the shackles of the Magus.
No, I had literally one turn, when I killed your Magus and then you reanimated him immediately.
Of course you reanimated immediately.
And I was like at 2 mana, I can't cast anything at 2 mana, I'm playing Kenaios and Tiro.
You managed to cast whatever the Hidden and Platinum Angel, if I remember correctly.
And Wurmcoil Engine.
And Wurmcoil Engine, those are good cards.
And then later on I managed to pull out something because I drew an actual Signet, so, you know, colored mana. But yeah. I wouldn't classify that as my Commander of the Week.
What would you actually classify as your Commander of the Week?
I wouldn't go with Commander of the Week, I would go with Commander of the Month. And that goes to Captain Cisse.
Oh?
Because she's the one that brought me to the dark side.
What would be the dark side, my friend?
The competitive EDH side of things.
I was quite surprised to hear this at first, by the way.
Oh yeah, it was so it all began when I had an arrangement with a friend, and then that friend, he didn't cancel it, but he just wasn't answering my calls when we were supposed to meet, so I was just like, I was just sad. And I went to our game shop and found our two friends there. And I told them, listen guys, I have all of my commander decks and I have all of my cards here in my bag. Do whatever you want with them. And they were like super, super happy to do that. And they busted all of my decks just to make... Well, first we wanted to make Joyra. And then we decided to go... Paradox Cisse.
Because turns out you had most of the cards for the deck anyway, so...
Yeah, and now I kind of have Paradox Cisse, which is almost complete. I'm just missing, Diamond Mox and Mana Crypt, I think. And that's about it. It's a typical stacks deck with Thalias and Winter Orbs and Hokoris, and just in case people start playing Artifact Ramp, you have Kataki War's Wage, you know, things like that. And at some point I just... sorry? You were saying?
How does it feel to play a stacks deck?
I feel horrible, but so do the others around me, so it's okay. Actually, I'm lying. People seem to be enjoying me playing a good deck. So, well, I guess I'm okay with that too.
I mean, there was a bunch of lags going on while we were under the Magus of the Moon this game, today, so...
So yeah.
Just because somebody's playing obnoxious stacksy effect doesn't mean people can't have fun.
Yeah, but I remember one game where I was playing... eventually I made Joyra also, the good Joyra, you know, the one that suspends. Now, people might argue that the new Joyra is the better Joyra, but I don't care.
I mean, in a vacuum she is, but depends what you do with her.
Yeah, my Joyra is kind of a stacksy deck as well. because, you know, also spend something for 4 turns, and for those 4 turns I expect people not to do anything. So,
what tech pieces do you run?
Blood Moon, Magus of the Moon, Back to Basics, Mana Vortex, things like that. There was a especially fun game where one friend played my Sisei deck. I was playing Joyra, and there were like, there was a what's it called? There was a Hokorian play, there was Winter Orb in play, there was a Trinisphere in play, there was a Kataki Wars Wage in play, and there was a, did I already say Trinisphere? Because there was a Trinisphere in play as well. And then at one point I just played Tanglewire. So,
that's a good card.
You know, the game kind of stopped for a couple of turns.
I mean, if Trinisphere is out and person taps it, the Tanglewire, you can still cast your spells normally.
Yeah, but it just doesn't tap it.
Oh, that's a different thing.
And it turns out that with Tanglewire out and Trinisphere out, even, and, you know, Hokori out, one land is not enough anymore. So yeah, it was kind of like 4 turns of not doing anything until, you know, Tanglewire died, and then nothing happened even after that.
I mean, the first game we played today was featuring a Tanglewire from the get-go. But that actually did buy me enough time to get all my pieces to combo off.
Yeah, just because I forgot the fact that Grand Abolisher is a card.
I did announce I'm casting Grand Abolisher.
You did.
And you were actually commanding a really decent board position before I comboed off.
Well, yeah, having a... having a... what's called? An Ornithopter for just free ninjutsu all every turn. It kind of gives me a nice card advantage with Yuriko and Sig.
Plus the turn, like, 2 or 3 you casted Jita, so you painted a huge target on your face.
Yeah, Jita was quickly eliminated, though.
I had to kill it. Because you know what happens when you have ninjas, and I have creatures with, like, 2 toughness through most of my deck, I would just die.
Well, most of your creatures on the board had 1 toughness.
That's the point. You did kill Avacyn's Pilgrim, man. On your way out.
Mm-hmm.
That actually did hurt me a bit and delayed my win for like a turn. Because I'm missing that one crucial mana.
Yep. Always kill the dorks.
And in the game 2, you hit Ulduvaz the Hidden, so I couldn't actually combo off with Kiki Jiki.
Yep.
That made me sad. But it's nice to have you actually playing a bit more competitive decks.
I mean, I still have my... I did tear apart Kinaya's and Tiro, but I built it again because I was like, yeah, I'm going to go... Well, basically, I was just playing Naya with just a splash of blue for some extra turns and other creatures. And then I just built Zakama instead. And then I realized that when I'm playing Zakama, I'm trying too hard to go with some land matters synergy with untapping lands and whatnot. And I just didn't like that. I really disliked thinking with the deck. So I just rebuilt Kinaya Sentiro because I really don't have to think about anything.
Just give me a second. Okay, back. So, now that you become a real competitive player, Miksha, what do we do now?
We don't talk about that because that's not dirtly enough, I guess.
I mean, you're still playing your dribble decks.
Yeah, like I said, I'm still playing Kenaios in theater because I don't have to think with that deck. I just play one card per turn and that's it.
Yeah, you just play big stupid stuff.
I also...
I mean, Nick Shaven, though I'm playing Stacks deck, I still play my cards that make me happy, things like the Brute Horchief.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a fun card. That's not a card you usually find in, you know, normal Bloodfall decks, but I just love the card.
Sure. And also, I'm in the process of making my five-color mono-red dragons. You know, with your dragon being the commander. And just playing red dragons. That's all I have. I have 38 mountains in the deck. And a bunch of red dragons. And I have three ways of actually casting my commander. And that's either with... that land that produces five different colors from Amonkhet.
Something quarry, right?
Cascading Cataracts?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Perhaps. Okay, never mind. Another way is to play Lantern. And the third way is through Geode Golem.
Oh yeah, just to reference the second game, now that you mentioned... I had Magus of the Moon, right?
Yes.
And bunch of not basic lands. And then I casted the Chromatic Lantern just to basically slap you all in the face.
Yes.
Plus, I actually needed the colors, so, you know. But... yeah. Wanna hit some news and stuff?
So, what's been going on with Magic lately?
Wanna start with something silly?
Sure.
One Mr. PewDiePie has been apparently playing Magic Arena and hitting Mythic in it.
Yeah, so that's with his deck called Angry White People.
Actually, Angry White Man, and then he had to play Angry White Women because he hit Diamond with a White Man but couldn't go farther.
Yeah, and he actually managed to reach Mythic, which is not a small feat. Because reaching Mythic requires a lot of dedicated grinding.
Yeah, he grinded a lot because apparently he's been on and off Magic from since 90s. So he's been playing Magic for a long time now.
Yep.
But that's not why we actually... first of all, him playing Arena has caused so many new people to come to Arena that actually the server is kind of broke.
For a moment, yeah.
Surprise, surprise. But the reason why we're talking about this is because apparently people have not liked him playing Arena.
Yeah, he was... I remember a tweet from Saffron Olive who said that he doesn't really... he never watched his content and he didn't like his tone. But if he's having fun playing Arena, then good for him.
I mean, I never watched PewDiePie. I maybe watched one video because I was showing Tess, I think. I can't remember the game I was showing to her, but he was playing it, so we watched one video of him. I honestly have no opinion about him, but, you know, him playing Magic Arena can only mean good things for Magic.
Yeah, I mean... across two videos he gathered more than 6 million views, so he is one of the largest Magic content creators currently.
Best thing about him making that video is that he didn't do it sponsored. He just did it willy-nilly, he wanted to do it.
And it wasn't part of his War Against T-Series.
War Against what?
Never mind. It's his running joke.
Uh-huh, because I have no idea.
So, yeah, it was his own free will. He just wanted to play Magic for the sake of playing Magic. And people were... I mean,
yeah,
it's...
overreacting.
It's probably the very, very vocal part of the community, but the very vocal minority of the community... that was extremely against him even being associated with Magic, that actually called out Wizards of the Coast to ban him from the game because they didn't want a Nazi, you know, be advertising the game for Wizards.
I mean, they're referencing that whole hit piece that the New York Times did on him, or Washington Post, one of the two, I can't remember which one. That he was satirizing the Nazis, but they made him look like a Nazi. Even though he's, you know, anything but.
Yeah, people are too obsessed with a bunch of random videos that are taken completely out of context just to make him look like an evil Nazi person.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, they just have to, you know, kind of calm down because he's not a Nazi.
He's not a Nazi. He can only do good things for the Magic brand because he's the biggest YouTuber out there.
And, you know, he might have, like, he does do edgy humor and has edgy jokes, but really, that's all he does. He just goofs around.
Mm-hmm. So people should calm a bit down, welcome him to the community, and just let the influx of new players do their thing.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of people who don't even know about Magic, but follow PewDiePie. And now they know about Magic.
I was reading on the Arena subreddit because you couldn't find anything about PewDiePie on a Magic subreddit because, you know, they've been deleting posts. A bunch of people who don't know about Magic but know PewDiePie started playing it, or some people who are wondering about Magic because they played it a long while ago and then see PewDiePie's video, they were like, oh, this is still a thing, and then started playing it again. Turns out when a very famous person with a huge outreach plays something, a bunch of people will be curious.
It would be extra funny if he actually gets invited for the... It's not the...
I mean, place quite high.
The World Magic Championship in the Arena, I have no idea what it's called anymore.
Something, I don't know.
When we're talking about controversial stuff, here's the thing. There's 64 people in that tournament, okay? In the world tournament. And they said that anybody can qualify. And then it turns out that 56 are invites only. 56 positions are already, you know, invited.
I mean, anybody can qualify, but you have to be one of those 8 people.
Yeah, so you have to be in the top 8 for quite some time to be qualified. And, you know, that's really not that good of a move, Wizards, because you want people who actually play your game to do that and not, you know, invite Amaz and Kibler. I mean, Kibler's a great guy, but he kind of wrote off Magic for good, and they keep inviting him over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't really want to have anything to do with Magic anymore, but he's being rewarded for that. That's kind of a mixed message Wizards is sending. And also Amaz, I mean, he's a popular Hearthstone streamer. More lately, a popular Dota Auto Chess streamer. But still, it's like, I'm sure they could have...
That's the point. He's a popular not Magic streamer.
But you don't invite him at the World Championship for Magic. You invite people for World Championship.
I mean, inviting for a GP or something like that.
For one Pro Tour or Mythic Championship or whatever it's called now.
Yeah, sure, whatever. That's fine.
I mean, they probably invited Day 9, which is okay because Day 9's actually playing Magic all the time.
I mean, he's actually streaming Arena and everything, and he's actually doing things for the brand currently.
But still, I dislike that. Their move to invite 56 people. I mean, World championships are supposed to be, you know, competition for the people,
mm-hmm.
not for the views.
Oh, well. Are we having more controversial things happening, right?
No, we don't.
Like mulligans. How about mulligans?
Mulligans, yeah. Okay, so.
What do we have about that?
So, they're going in the upcoming Mythic Championship. They will be testing out a new mulligan system, which is going to be so when you mulligan, you don't draw one less, you draw seven again, and then you can decide to mulligan again. If you don't decide to mulligan, so when you're finished mulliganing, for every time you mulliganed, you take a card and put them on the bottom of your deck in any order. And this is going to be only tested on the Mythic Championship or Pro Tour. London, I think. Yeah, London.
I think so.
And they'll see what's going to happen. And the Pro Tour is actually going to be modern and draft, because draft is still a thing. So we'll see how that will turn out. I mean, I like the fact that they're trying out new things, but this is one of those things that they'll try out and see that it's not going to work. I mean, actually, it's going to work too good.
I mean, for standard and limited, it's going to work perfectly fine, I think.
Yeah, for standard and limited, it's just... it's completely fine.
However, once you go to modern, legacy, vintage, or EDH, things change a bit.
Yeah, kind of. Even in Commander.
Our good friend Andre has been actually reading about this a bit. People have already made decks with 8 to 10 lands in EDH because of this change.
Wow.
Yeah, and you can combo off like quite fast.
Wow. And also, there's a huge stock decrease of serum powders on the market.
And Bazaar to Baghdad.
I mean, serum powder is maximum cheating mode.
Yep.
Because after a couple of serum powders, your opponent's not... I mean, who's tracking how many times you've mulliganed? I mean, serious.
Oh god, that's gonna be silly.
And I think that not just because in Modern and Legacy and Vintage, I guess, I'm more just a Modern follower. I think that combo decks and Tron, which is actually a combo deck, are going to have a really good game 1 because of the change.
You think?
But their game 2 and 3 will be a lot worse for them, because you know, now the other player has a huge advantage when getting his hate cards.
On the other hand, how many hate cards do you actually have, and how many will you actually manage to draw in those draw steps?
Well, I know people who sideboard one card against my Tron and they always draw it, so it's going to help a lot by that logic.
That's variance, not actually happening, because you have such density of hate cards.
Yeah, but now they can actually get away with sideboarding like fewer cards. So they can make sideboards for a wider variety of decks?
I'm against this whole mulligan change thing, because current mulligan actually seems fine. And the only reason why they're doing this one is because LSV had to mull to like 4 cards on finals of GP or Pro Tour or something like that.
I'm seeing as this change not being implemented, not because of the implications in competitive play they're going to make, but the numerous situations it's going to cause for judge calls. Because at some point people will be like, wait, was this my second or third mulligan? I was like, oh, I don't know. Judge?
Game warnings galore.
You know, it'll just be very feel bad, I think. And it's actually quite time consuming because you get your 7, you mulligan, you get your 7, you mulligan again, and then you get your 7, you keep it, and then you have to think about which cards to drop on the bottom.
For game 1, that's a bit harder, but games 2 and 3 should be much more easy because you know what you're facing, so...
That might actually make morphing decks more powerful, then.
What?
You know, decks that play, like, Reanimator first round, and then when the opponent sideboards in all the graveyard hate, you turn into a prison deck that doesn't use the graveyard at all.
Yeah, transformative sideboards, that's a different thing. I thought you meant literal morph decks. I was like, wait, what? People play that?
I mean, it's the same thing. Transforming trends, something.
You know what's gonna become much stronger if this change goes through?
Tron?
Aganza, the Dungeon Warden.
Yeah, Granza, because you can just... For free, you know what's on your what's on the bottom of your library.
These days, you play it with Doomsday, so you can actually, you know, set up your pile and everything. But what if you can just do it without Doomsday?
I mean, it's still variants. It's a 99-card deck.
Yeah, you still play Doomsday, but this is you can have games where you just, you know, go off willy-nilly.
I just don't think that's enough of a factor to even consider.
I think at this point it's just a meme that Granza is the most powerful thing ever.
Hey, maybe this means Granza is coming back into Standard. I mean, coming back. Going to be reprinted into Standard.
Is he?
Oh, he might. You know, Tron might be reprinted into Standard as well.
I mean, would he be too powerful in Standard?
No. I mean, we have Junk Trawler for a reason, I guess.
We have Krasis as a thing.
Krasis doesn't... Oh my god, the Krasis. Why is Standard a thing?
Well, you see, there is this thing that wizards like that is called money.
I know. And when we're talking about Standard, why do we still draft on Pro Tours or Mythic Championships? I want this to change. I want them to change this. Get rid of draft, because draft is boring. And draft is still, people might think it's still very skill-based, but it's not, because it depends a lot about the people around you and what you're actually drawing in your packs.
I mean, Niksha, guess what? People in Pro Tour, they kind of know how to draft. They're kind of okay with that.
Well, what would be more interesting is that if they removed the draft portion and made it with cubes. You know, make a vintage cube.
You do realize what's the actual main purpose of them drafting?
I know, promoting the set.
Yep.
But they can promote the set by, you know, putting in good cards and showing Standard tournaments. Maybe even, here's an idea, putting on live coverage of other tournaments and not just Mythic Championships.
What is this live coverage you speak of?
Oh, I don't know. It's something that died off because all the budget went to the War of the Spark trailer. Teaser, or, not even trailer.
Is this your segue to War of the Spark? Or?
Yes.
Okay, so what's happening in the War of the Spark?
We don't know.
Well, this has been our show, ladies and gentlemen. Talk to you later, I guess.
So the teaser shows off 36 planeswalkers being on Ravnica through stained windows, and Bolas horns things. So what we're led to believe is that among 36 planeswalkers, only one will emerge victorious. And Tybalt. We know that it's probably going to be for Bufub.
Or Tybalt,
yeah. So, they weren't joking about 36 planeswalkers in the deck. They're in the set. There's actually going to be 36 planeswalkers in the set. across multiple rarities. So
how?
It just might be possible for them to reprint the old Tybalt as common and make a pauper legal planeswalker.
Oh god.
And also it will be immensely helpful for me in my mission of acquiring 75 Tybalts.
You're gonna use clear sleeves, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And they are going to be my background image. And people might dislike it, but they will have to,
You realize at this point, for less money, you could actually get custom printed the things and deliver it to you.
It's about sending a message.
Okay. But yeah, 60 bajillion walkers in a set, what the hell?
And they're probably not going to be reprints at all. I mean, I'm excited about getting an Ugin. I mean, another Ugin for, you know, Tron. Okay, speaking of Tron, just a little diversion. I switched to Blue Tron.
Again?
And I actually 5-0'd a tournament.
Pray do tell.
Well, turns out that Blue Tron is actually kind of a good deck. You know, because in one point, on one side, you have counter spells like Remand, Condescend, and Spellburst. And you have Repel, and you have a lot of cantrips, or things that dig through the deck.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go, like, grind out the game by countering some bad things, bouncing bad creatures back, like Phoenixes, and survive until you can, you know, play Cyclonic Rift for actual mana or for Tron mana. On the other hand, you can just get lucky and go turn 3 Tron into whatever you want. Because, you know, it's Tron. And, you know, counter spells are pretty good cards as well. So when you have both of those together, you get a above average deck. People weren't just ready for me playing counter spells, I guess.
Huh.
You know, me who plays all those walls and stuff.
There was one more thing we need to talk about, right? Sheldon's challenge break this rule. Remember that one?
Can you repeat?
Sheldon issued the challenge, Sheldon Mannery, from the rules committee. Challenge, break this rule. During a player's draw step, if that player controls fewer lands than any other player, they may pay 2 life and to search a library for a basic land card, put it into their hand instead of drawing a card for the turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how many broken things can this do?
Well, I would imagine it can do a lot of broken things, like reducing your mana base to 3 lands or something like that.
You do have to remember that, you know, you need to have basics for this to work.
Yeah, so you just play 3 to 4 to 5 basics, I guess.
Things like Hermit Druid wouldn't actually be able to abuse this, but it still seems like a bit of a dangerous rule change, if you ask me.
Yeah, giving players the option to actually tutor for cards is never a good thing.
What's the worst that could happen?
Well, a complete end of the world is the worst that can happen, but it's not going to happen.
I don't know if this is going to trigger the complete end of the world.
It just might, you never know. Maybe the old gods are really against tutoring for basics.
But yeah, this change seems a bit unsafe, but in Sheldon's credit, this is more of a thought experiment for now.
Yeah, it's not going to go through just like the Mulligan.
I mean, if they actually implement this as a real thing, then we get to bitch and complain.
Mm-hmm.
For the time being, I would advise everybody to just, you know, keep calm and give constructive criticism on the MTG Commander forums. That's okay, but don't actually just bitch and complain.
Yeah, constructive criticism gets us everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I'm against this change, but I'm still not going to go and yell at Sheldon, because enough people are doing that already on the internet.
I just think that there are other people that are smarter than me that are doing this thing, so I'm just going to go with the flow.
Didn't we actually get a bunch of people into the side rules committee in the month that we were actually gone?
Yeah, they did.
So they got a bunch of people that I wouldn't actually, that I'm nothing comfortable near the rules, and Rachel Agnes.
Oh.
Because Rachel actually, she plays Vintage and a bit competitive EDH, and, you know, she is the much needed voice for competitive players in EDH.
Yeah, but you have to understand that EDH is primarily a casual format.
I'm not saying catered to competitive players, I'm saying it have, you know, actual balance. Have a bit more, a bit competitive opinions as well while you're making decisions about the rules.
Yeah, instead of instantly banning Paradox Engine because my CSA would completely lose its meaning, and I don't want that
I
to
mean,
happen.
Honestly, even in casual setting, Paradox Engine is fine. In competitive setting, Paradox Engine is played in like that, exactly that one deck, Captain CSA.
And in Joyra. I mean, you don't have to, but it's sure of a hell of a good card in Joyra.
Yeah, basically, you don't play it in main decks, and it's not... Competitive players will lose their mind if you actually ban the Paradox Engine.
I would, because it's my only competitive deck.
My point is, the ban is not needed.
It's not, but you never know.
Hell, if anything, I would unban things, and I would return the...
Stop!
Ban
the... Stop! Yep, yep. Stop with unbanning Braids. It's not going to happen.
Fun thing about that, actually, I've been playing with Braids in Alesha for a couple months now. You know what's the thing?
You never draw her, so we don't know.
Oh, no. I often have her in my hand, but I look at the card and I'm like, this actually isn't going to change the battlefield in my favor. So I just don't cast it or don't reanimate it.
But you know the rules. No separate ban lists, to keep it simple. If you want separate ban lists, you go play 1v1.
My point about that is, EDH is already a really complex format, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people learning how to play EDH will be super confused by, you know, having a Bandas commander.
Well, apparently they did, so they removed the Bandas commander list.
They apparently did at the same time while Modo was actually coughing and dying because of the Bandas commander list, right?
I have no idea.
I do. I've been playing at that time. And MTGO would sometimes cough while they were trying to do separate commanders.
Mm-hmm.
But Sheldon says it's not because of that, so I'll just go with that.
Also, Brawl die? Did Brawl die while we were... Well, the whole problem with the page was up, or did Brawl die a long time ago?
Niksha, Brawl was a stillborn. He was never actually alive.
It was live for some time on Magic Online, and then it was...
I don't think 5 seconds counts as time.
You know why it failed? Because they didn't implement it in Magic Arena. I mean, it's a format basically made for Magic Arena, and they didn't put it on Magic Arena.
Oh, definitely. You have a point there.
They made singleton tournaments on Magic Arena, but not Brawl events? I mean, what?
I'm gonna go with technology still isn't up there, because Magic Arena is still in beta, as far as I understand.
It's still in beta, but that's far from technology not being there.
Ah, look, I'm just giving you excuses.
I mean, I think that it's probably because, you know, people would be satisfied with having just one card, and they would have to grind a lot less to get a lot more content.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something you want in your free-to-play game.
I mean, I've been playing Arena recently. Arena is fun, gotta say. But on the other hand, I've been playing a lot of Arena, then I started playing a lot of Stardew Valley, then I started playing a lot of Yakuza, so, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I was playing Arena a bit too, but it's one thing when you're live across another human being and they're like taking their sweet ass time. And you're like, they're doing something. You can see the motions, you can see something, you can look at an album or something like that. It's a completely other thing when people are taking their sweet ass time in Arena, because it's really infuriating, at least for me.
I mean, you know whom does Arena cater to? You know when you do like a 15-hour shift and just want to come home and actually just chill, but you want to play Magic a bit?
So you mean to like Hearthstone players?
Let's go with that. Or people who want to play Magic, but they moved into more rural community that doesn't have people playing Magic.
Or that want to play Magic, but they don't feel like driving for an hour to be stuck in a tournament for 5 hours just to play 5 games.
Basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Arena has a count. Plus, a lot of people have been playing Arena, so there is actual demand for it.
And maybe Wizards will eventually start making cross-promotional events for, I don't know, you go to Standard and you get Arena codes on in your Standard
FNM. I mean, you already have that on pre-releases.
Yeah, and I dislike the fact that they changed from a sealed to a free draft, because seals are cool.
Mm-hmm, seals are super fun. Plus, seals require me being less skillful, and I'm already not skillful as is.
You and me both.
I mean, you're a better limited player than I am, Miksha.
Well, I guess. Maybe. I really don't know.
I mean, both limited and sealed, you're actually crushing that much better than I am.
Well, I do dislike drafts, and that's why I don't play drafts ever, but when it comes to sealed, yeah, it's all about, you know, I don't know, just getting lucky.
You don't get lucky because you often place in like top 8 in pre-releases, at least.
It's because it's more of a casual event, and people are more, you know, casual there.
Okay, I come there with an idea to actually play.
I haven't actually played a really serious sealed event yet.
I mean, yeah.
And we do have those.
We do?
We do sometimes.
Wow. Beats me. But I think we have gone through all the topics I think we need for this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually nice to be back on the recording podcast. And luckily in the month that we've gone, a bunch of things happened.
Yeah, and we're expecting a lot more things to happen. Like, they announced the core set and Commander, but they didn't say anything about those.
They announced the announcements.
Yay. I'm sorry, but that kind of hyping doesn't work anymore. It's 2019. I mean,
they're gonna keep doing it.
Oh yeah, they also removed MSRP.
Oh yeah, that's the thing.
Which is both good and bad, and I think that for the customers, it's probably going to be a bad thing. I think. Because now anyone can charge any price for anything, and you won't have a reference to see if they're ripping you off.
I mean, I'm not sure how our stores is gonna behave with that.
They don't have a choice. We don't get our products from Wizards directly.
Aha, uh-huh, but I didn't have an idea about that.
Well, you know, only in America do they get products from Wizards directly.
Blizzard.
Blizzard.
Blizzards of the Coast.
So yeah, this is mainly for their Walmarts and Amazons and things like that. And it's going to probably suck for Europe.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
We'll see.
So, that's it for this week, right?
That's about it.
Well, let's wrap this whole thing up. This has been episode 84 of the Elder Dragon Builder podcast. This has been your host, Igor, and as always with me was Niksha.
Yep, there it was me.
And as always, talk to you next week and the Emperor Protects.
Bye-bye.